What's up, heroes? Welcome to episode 23 of the Producer Life Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about how I took a vocal from this.
I'll never be the same.
To this.
I'll never be the same.
And I'm going to compare what I did with stock Ableton plugins to one of the presets in iZotope's Nectar 3. And we're going to talk about layering vocals and using harmonies. But first, cue the intro music. All right, throughout this podcast, we're going to be using the vocals from my recent release, This Way. I worked with a vocalist that I found on Fiverr. I was looking for an Ed Sheeran-type sound, and this guy did a phenomenal job. I provided some ideas about lyrics, and he ran with it. He wrote the top line, provided the harmonies and the ad-libs. I use Fiverr for all sorts of stuff, from graphics to top lines. I'll leave my affiliate link in the show notes for producerlifepodcast.com. That's a great way, by the way, to support the podcast without costing you anything. Just use my link and I get a little bit off the top, which is awesome. So we're going to be using that throughout. And I'm also going to let you know that any comparisons that I do, I'm leaving the mastering chain on. So you've got approximately the same volume. That'll give you the best comparison. So what we're going to be talking about, there are multiple tracks that are layered together. There's a lead, there's two backing, which are panned outwards to the extremes, and then there's two ad-libs, which are also panned out. Now, before I start working with any vocal, I always do a little bit of cleanup first, and this is frequently kind of time-consuming and tedious. Ideally, you want to have multiple comps, multiple different versions of a track, so you can go through it and find whenever the vocalist pronounced the words exactly the way you want, where the emphasis is, and then you can select the best of each of the versions that the vocalist provides. So, ideally, you want multiple comps. One of the other things that I do early on is I go through and I cut out any egregious breaths, that you hear in a vocal. Sometimes those are useful musically. Maybe it came across as a sigh and you're trying to convey a particular emotion, but more often than not, the breaths just clutter the mix, so I cut them out entirely. I also look for spots where the vocalist is too loud or too quiet, and sometimes I'll handle that with volume automation rather than waiting on the compression later to try to level out the overall level of the mix. One of the other time-consuming things for me, if I'm going back and forth with a vocalist, is getting all of the harmonies and melodies to line up. I find that if you're trying to line up multiple takes so that you get kind of that chorus effect, or if you're trying to line up ad-libs with the actual words or whatever, one of the things that helps me is to use both my eyes and my ears. So you look at the waveforms across multiple tracks to find where they should line up. You also obviously listen and see where it sounds good. The other thing that can help is turn off all your effects and slow the whole track down 10 or 20 beats per minute, and that'll help you to get everything lined up the way it should be. Here's the dry vocal from the chorus.
I'll never be the same, 'cause my whole world has changed since I met you, and I bet you that we'll always be this way.
Now, back in the previous episode, episode 22, I talked about wanting to go all in with iZotope just to kind of do this as an experiment and see how a track would sound if you use iZotope for the mixing, the mastering, the effects, everything. And here's an example of what that vocal sounds like using an iZotope chain. And in this case, I used RX7 breath control to catch some of the small breaths. And I also used Nectar 3 with the Pop Presence preset.
I'll never be the same, 'cause my whole world has changed since I met you, and I bet you that we'll always be this way.
Well, interestingly, after some experimentation and passing along the draft of the track to a mentor at the Producer Dojo, Richard from Sixth Street Music, I actually decided to use mostly stock Ableton plugins. Here's what it sounds like with the stock Ableton plugins.
I'll never be the same, Cause my whole world has changed since I met you. And I bet you that we'll always be this way.
So I like that version a lot better. Let me describe the chain that I use in Ableton to accomplish that. First, I used a gate. So I was cleaning up some background noise. I noticed there was a little bit of microphone hiss and whatnot. Frequently, the first thing in a chain may be a de-esser. If you're getting some harsh sibilance, that S sound that sometimes comes through too strongly on a microphone. But in this case, a gate seemed to work well. From there, I used a bit warmer as the preset for a saturator to kind of add a few frequencies, warm up the highs. Then I used an EQ8 with a high-pass filter with a particular kind of whale shape recommended by Ill Gates. I'll include a screenshot of that in the show notes. And so the idea is that instead of boosting the highs to give that bright, airy frequency everywhere, you're trying to also cut out the lows so that the highs that are already there in the vocal stand out more. Then there's a series of two glue compressors with different attack ratios. So you may be wondering, why did I use two different glue compressors with different attack ratios instead of simply using one? And many times when you're mixing, if you use two plugins that are the same but with slightly different settings and you use them more gently, you can get a much more transparent result than simply using one plugin with more aggressive settings. So in this case, two glue compressors. In other cases, you might use two saturators or even more. So after the glue compressors comes a filter delay for just the left and the right. So the extremes on the left and the right, the mid is cut out entirely. So it adds sort of a spatial delay Haas effect. And each of those has a different EQ. So again, you're hearing a little bit of difference in the delay on the left and right pan sides, which gives you this big wide feeling to the vocal. Finally, there's an additional rack within the rack that separates out the 2 through 10K frequencies with a bandpass filter on EQ, and there's a dry and the wet within that rack. On the wet, I'm absolutely squashing the signal, so you've got this really, really over-compressed version of the vocal, and you mix that in gradually with the dry version of the vocal. What that does by mixing a highly over-compressed version of the vocal with the dry vocal is it brings out that bright, airy sound that everybody loves in pop vocals right now. Finally, I add a little reverb and a de-esser at the end because frequently when you add in an over-compressed signal, it makes the S's and the sibilance too harsh. So that's how I process the main vocal. Now, if that chain sounded complicated, don't worry. Head over to producerlifepodcast.com, go to episode 23, and I'm going to have a free download for that Ableton chain that I use to process the vocals. Now, layering vocals is really important. Here's a second take. Here's a harmony that the vocalist did.
Since I met you, and I bet you that we'll always be this way.
This is where it became really important that I had multiple takes also, because originally in this vocal, one of the words sounds more like bed instead of bet. And so it was nice that I had multiple takes where I could go back and select the vocal which made the most sense. Now, for the backing vocal, I liked the way that the Isotope Nectar 3 pop backing vocal preset sounded, so I ran with that. It has a bandpass EQ, a compressor, and a de-esser in it. Bandpass, again, cutting out high and low frequencies, so you kind of have this hollowed out sound because you don't want this at the front of your mix. You want this sitting in the background to back the main vocal. So here's what that sounds like with the processing on it.
Since I met you, and I bet you that we'll always be this way.
All right, let's move on to the harmony. There are different notes that the vocalist is using to try to harmonize to complement the main melody. So here's the original without any processing.
Since I met you, and I bet you that we'll always be this way.
Now, I did something a little bit different in processing the harmony. Back in episodes 7 and 8, Sean Naughton, also known as Spiderhound, talked about how he likes to mangle his vocals and then mix the mangled sound back in with the dry vocals. So in this version, I again used some isotope processing. I used breath control, and then I used Isotope's vocal synth to add in some vocoding. And then on top of that, I added the Nectar 3 pop backing preset. Again, kind of hollowing things out, taking out the highs and the lows. And what you hear in the wet harmony is this.
And since I met you, and I bet you that we'll always be this way.
Now, that doesn't sound great by itself, but when it's layered with the main vocal, it really fills in a lot of the frequencies. Finally, I've got some ad-libs. These are things like oohs and ahs that can be sprinkled throughout your mix. Sometimes those come about organically. So you're listening to the vocalist takes and they say something here or there, and you're just like, oh, that would sound really good if I put it over here. Other times you specifically ask them, hey, can you give me some oohs and ahs to layer? This is the dry version.
Ooh.
And here's the wet version.
Ooh.
Now, in this case, I process this the same as the backing vocals with breath control and the pop backing preset in Nectar 3. I did add a little reverb too to push it more towards the background. At this point, we've got all the components we need. We've got the main vocal, we've got backing vocals, we've got ad-libs. So really, it just comes down to mixing. And so here's the finished track with all of the vocals mixed in with the instrumentals. There are a few additional ad-libs in this particular version. So that was the process I used for this way. What plugins and processes do you like to use for your vocals? I'd love to hear from you in the show notes or over on our private Facebook group at facebook.com/group/producerlifepodcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. And until next week, this is the House Ninja, reminding you to be someone's hero today.